Hello and welcome to another episode of Father and Joe. I'm Joe Rocky here with Father Bonifacix. And Father, you know, I've done a lot of different episodes and thinking about the importance of being a member of the faith and the greatness that comes from there, but also kind of living in my space is that looking at people for what they are rather than like the ideal utopian, but living in reality. We live in a space where, in general, incentivization or disincentivization tends to be what draws most people's actions and motives. And one of the things that I was sitting at Mass and observed kind of hit on me is like simultaneously both. If from an outside, it can be considered as a disincentive, but for someone who actually legitimately consistently processes it and does it, it's a very much an incentive. And that is one of the things we do right in the beginning of the May of the Mass, which is the call to minding of our sins. Said another way, what was our last week like? Where were we successful and not successful? And so many of us live in a type of autopilot where we just go through the process and we never question the process or evaluate it. We just kind of go. And whatever direction that river is going, that's where we're going to end up. It's just part of life. You know, you'll see this expressed in a lot of different ways, but this is just kind of what's going to happen and no one ever really thinks about it. And why I say the calling of our sins is a disincentive is most people don't want to think about things that they're doing bad, and that's not awesome. But how it is a great incentive is sitting back and looking at the reality of where we're at and how we got here is a great starting point of figuring out what do I want to make different so this next week when I'm sitting here and calling to mind my sins, it's better than last week. And going back to last episode, checking my process so I can improve it. And I think that that's one of the parts of the Mass that those who actively participate in it really get a benefit from. Maybe it's only at a subconscious level, but it's something that actively does make a difference in virtually every aspect of life as a result. So I wanted to start with that because I think it's something that's so important. Obviously, it's a part of the Mass, so you're familiar with it, but I think it's something that we all dive with a lot, and I think there's so much value to it.
Yeah, it's as you say, right at the beginning of the Mass, and that's universal across every form of the Mass and different Eastern rites as well. We start with what we call a penitential rite. Penitential in terms of repentance. Those words can feel kind of heavy at times, but they're really about setting our fundamental orientation. So the word in Greek is metanoete, and it's to transform your nous, your N-O-U-S, your interior orientation, your mindset, to shift kind of deep into your core to the right direction, to reset to the right direction, to reestablish the right priorities, to set our faces towards the Lord again. And so, as you say, that requires us to pay attention to where we are and how we might be not necessarily going in totally the opposite direction, but maybe not on target like we would want to be. And if we take the time to notice that, notice where we are, then we can take the time also to reset that and set our sights on the Lord again. And it sometimes sounds a little bit funny when the priest invites us to acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. It's like, how does remembering my sins help me to celebrate anything? Mm-hmm. But when I celebrate the sacred mysteries, those are the mysteries of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. It's his love for me. And when I remember, for one thing, that he's loved me as a sinner, that even though I have failed, even though I've gone in the wrong direction, even though I'm getting off course, he loves me. He has loved me, and he wants to help me to be on course. And so if I come to him as one in need, recognizing that I'm not perfect, but I've gone astray or I'm off course or I'm set in the wrong direction, then he can help me to be set in the right direction. And then I'm really celebrating his salvation. I mean, what, he wouldn't have come to us as a savior if we didn't need to be saved. And sometimes we get a little disconnected from our need for salvation. And that's for good reason. You know, we incorporated in our last episode the sort of focus that a lot of people have around, or the connection between religion and morality, as if being Catholic is just about a bunch of rules. But that's not really it at all. That's a very secondary to it being a response to being loved. And then how do I respond best? Well, I have something to learn in that regard. But part of needing a savior is the fact that I can have a tendency to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, and the fact is that I'm wounded. I don't love as well as I could. I don't live out my dignity as well as I could. And by acknowledging that I have some needs there, as you said a couple of times, you know, we're not perfect. We're in a process of growth. We're on the journey, and so it's to be continually moved forward on the journey. It's to be reconciled for ways that I've fallen off the path. And it's to experience again the Lord's love for me, which is not because I'm so impressive. Jesus doesn't love me because he's so impressed with me. Jesus loves me because he loves me. He created me and he's not going to stop loving me because that's who he is. And so I experience, I celebrate the sacred mysteries better when I realize that's who he is, and I realize that who I am is somebody who really needs to be loved. And so yeah, setting that initial orientation in the Mass is really important. Now, everybody here has noticed that the 3 seconds that we're invited to do that are not adequate for taking stock of our life. And we would do best to show up at Mass a few minutes early, you know, especially those who at least have a spouse who can help to corral their kids. But if we have a few minutes to prepare before Mass, it's a good point of preparation. Where am I? How's my week been? Am I facing the right direction? Are there areas of my life that need to be touched by God's grace and mercy? Am I aware of my need to be saved? And so I can kind of do that preparation in advance. And then when the priest gives you 3 seconds, you're sort of calling to mind the preparation that you already made. So, but yeah, it's a really important part of how we enter into the Mass to make that kind of preparation. And as you said, it's a really important part of living a purpose-driven life, a discerning life, a reflective life, an intentional life, that I'm not just stumbling along the way and going through the motions.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, as you said, exactly, that 3 seconds is not enough time, but the process of going through and preparing yourself for it, I believe normally opens up greater listening to the actual readings and better connection than with the homily in and of itself. Because what I have found just so many times is that without knowing what the readings are, because I'm not one of the people who read the Missalect as it's going through, I sit there and listen to it. That's always been how I am for really anything, which everyone's different. You know, you got your different ways of learning, blah, blah, blah. But I think that it's amazing that when you prepare yourself and say, this is something I'm struggling with, and then try to place yourself as one of the people in whichever reading you're hearing. If you were there witnessing this firsthand, how does it translate to your own life? Especially in the gospel, because almost always when you put yourself in that spot, you can envision yourself being there and listening and then putting in perspective of how could I implement this in my life and what it does. Now, I think that's something that you only do with practice. I don't think it's something you can just wake up and figure out. And I think that this is one of the parts of the Mass that really get missed. You know, it draws you in deeper. And like anything else in love, the more that you're drawn into it, the better it becomes. And that was just a thought process of just to focus on, like I said, it was the beginning of Mass. And I was like, this is so vital. And I just was doing what I was saying I was doing earlier. I was just going down the river of it. but I knew that this was pointing me there, and actually sitting and realized this is a big process, sitting back and evaluating this is what was wrong, what was right, and using a lot of things you've taught me, Father, being gentle with yourself, being able to listen, not being judgmental, and being able to just really say, honestly, this is a good idea or this isn't, or it's an unknown idea, which a lot of us live in spaces. I don't know if this is good or bad. Kind of evaluating, well, where realistically does this end up if we just keep doing the same thing? You know, and I think that that's something that's very important to evaluate and think about. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great that you made that discovery, and I appreciate you applying some of the things we've talked about. That's definitely the approach to take, is that gentleness towards ourselves, just being interested and curious about where things are, how that's going. And, you know, there's a tradition in the spiritual life that a lot of people will do that at the end of every day, you know, just take a stock of the day. I kind of prefer doing it at midday is also traditional. Sometimes people find that they're best in the morning to think back on the previous day. Sometimes it helps when you sleep on something. But in other words, just taking a kind of 24-hour time slice as well, and then the 7-day time slice are really good ways to just, again, live a reflective life, a self-aware life, that we're not just sort of tumbling along from one thing to the next and paying no attention to all the battering and bruising and disasters, stumbling, falling, climbing, clamoring, you know, that we end up doing. So just, you know, taking the time for all of that and making that a regular part of our life is such a great value.
Yeah. And it's not always just such a great value. It's something that really will help you, you know, to be able to say, hey, this is what would be better. Like this is, even if you don't know the answer. And I think that that's the important spot, is you don't need to know the answer. Just knowing that this is a problem, I should just be, let's just focus on, let's just think about it in a way that's gentle and nurturing, as you said, curious about it. You know, I feel that something's wrong here. Like every time I go down this path, I feel a little tag on me. Well, that's because you're walking too close to a jagger bush. And in the spiritual world, this is kind of the reflection of, now that we're home looking at our legs, why do we have a scratch here over and over and over again? Well, let's evaluate that. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we come up with the instant solution, because there's 500 different solutions you can have to walking past a jagger bush that catches you. You can walk further away from it. You could cut the jagger bush. You could jump. I mean, there's like 500 things you could do that's different. And it's not necessarily coming up with the solution in that moment, but recognizing the issue and then allowing yourself, as you said there, to be open to the thought process. And, you know, I what I have found is anytime that you truly start in that point, a solution, or at least a process, will start coming to you that will lead you to a better outcome. And I think that that's something that, regardless of your walk of life, it happens. And I go back to something you told me, I don't know, probably 6 years ago now, about a woman that was trying to figure out chemistry. And she just, it wasn't coming to her. And just went to a mass and sat down with the recognition that God made this, and eventually the answer will come. And I think that that's something so important for all of us to think about, and being open to those first minutes, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do right? And actually think about, instead of putting up our armor and defense and not wanting to be vulnerable and exposed to some things that were there, but actually to embrace the process and realize, this has been part of the faith for a very long time because it works. You know, that's one of the other elements that I think that gets a lot missed with the faith. It wasn't that we're not doing the exact same thing now that they were doing 20 or 2000 years ago. There's some core things that are the same, but it's not all identical. And the reason is people have gone, this didn't work for my parish. This didn't work for my people. How can we make it better? And I think that that's an important part. In a lot of ways, the Mass itself is the perfection of that process. And to come in as a participant saying, I want to avoid this portion or block myself off from it, is a tremendous disservice to yourself. So, Father, I'm sorry if I'm rambling here, but I think that that's something that's very important to recognize as a participant entering into a Mass.
No, that's excellent. And I'm amazed you remember the details of my directee and her chemistry. Just to clarify one thing that does make a little bit of difference, and then to bring it back into what you asked. So it was during Eucharistic adoration that she just to say she had a little bit more time to press into the question. But you're so right. It's the same idea that when we have a few minutes in silence with the Lord, bring up the things that are on our hearts that we don't understand, that we're looking into, and to do that at the beginning of Mass, not just to sort of, you know, and that's when Mass really gets transformed from something that I'm kind of getting done to an opportunity for an encounter with the living God. And it's easy to keep reducing it to the thing I'm getting done. But to open it up to an encounter with the living God, that's really where we want to head with that. And these are precisely the kinds of ways that we will do that most effectively, is if we, you know, take some time and come before the Lord, take some space, discover what's on our hearts, just be self-reflective, self-aware about that, and as you said, gentle with ourselves, curious about what's happening there. And no matter what it is, and another way to describe holiness, you know, we had a little kind of bonus at the end of our last episode to just note that holiness is about the perfection of love. And another way I like to describe it is holiness has to do with bringing our whole life into relationship with God. And why that's difficult or surprising is that there are actually a number of areas of our life that we tend not to bring into relationship with God. We leave those off to the side. We check them at the door. Not even just bad things, although sometimes bad things we stick in a hole somewhere. We try to stuff it into the closet. We take the clutter out and try to hide it from the authorities. But also good areas of our life, we just don't think to bring them into relationship with God. And we might, if we were asked, say something like, you know, well, God doesn't have time for that, or I can deal with that on my own, or that doesn't really matter. But what you've discovered already, being married a few years, Joe, is everything is important to your wife. Now, there are some things she's happy for you to whatever go off and do. She's not God either. But there are a number of things that you did just fine and you didn't think about, and maybe you don't even think are that interesting, but she's interested. So you have to learn over time that we can bring these things into relationship with people who love us and that we love. And everything for God is fair game. He's not disinterested in anything. He is fascinated with all of the details, and he wants to be involved in everything in our life. And so the more that we can be intentional about that and bring those things before him, then we also experience, kind of like that student with her chemistry, well, God's actually interested enough to give us a hand and help us out with some things. He's not just leaving us on our own to do all of our own stuff, and then we come to him with the religious stuff or something like that. He's actually in love with us. He's really in love with us, and he wants to be involved in everything.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, you gave the answer and the antithesis to it in the same answer, is the trying to just get something done approach, and then using that as not bringing it to God. You know, this is applicable as people, which is outside of the Mass as well. The more of your life that you just try to treat as, I just need to get this done, the more burnout you get. And I know this especially, you know, one of the changes we've done in the business is I'm helping people who are burnt out in their business sell it rather than just walk away and all their employees lose their job as a result. And one of the key things that leads to people burning out, losing satisfaction in what they've created in their business, is this mindset of, I just need to get this done. I need to get this done, without the appreciation for it. So to give an example of something that might seem small and irrelevant, that is in easily in the category, just need to get this done, would be doing the dishes, like after you eat. And the mindset is, yeah, it's a chore, I need to get it done. Or you can take the mindset of, by doing this, I'm going to have a great benefit thereafter. You know, someone's going to appreciate the fact that when they want to eat, they can just get right into eating. You know, they don't need to clean all these, they don't need to do this step. I'm going to be doing a benefit for. And I think that it's that mindset is exactly what you're talking about in the relationship that God wants to be open to us. Sure, doing the dishes isn't exactly interesting or fun for most people, but if you treat it as I'm going to do it as a benefit for someone else, I'm going to get something out of it rather than just a stupid thing I have to do, your life ends up becoming so much better and you become less burnout. So I look at that as a positive way of just putting an extra emphasis on this, and that it's not just when we're in the walls of a church. This is something that's expoundable in every element of our day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always found that it's easier to do somebody else's dishes. It seems less interesting when they're when they are my dishes. And then it seems just like a burden that has to get done. But when I can do somebody else's dishes, I find purpose behind it, sort of like you're saying, and an opportunity to make a gift. So it's, when we can bring these things into relationship with God, when we can discover that there's a purpose in them beyond even just utility, that when it becomes an offering, part of our offering and our gift to God and to other people, those things really add so much value and thus also so much motivation.
Yeah, it's such an awesome thought. So I thank you so much for being with us here today, Father. We'll be with everyone again here next week and talk to you then.